Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you, God. Father God, we come to you, Father, in the precious and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we just thank you, oh God, for another day. Father God, thank you, oh God, just for new mercies, oh God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace of this day, the blessings of this day, regardless of what we've been through, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for we know that it's a privilege, Heavenly Father, to know you, to be loved by you, oh God, to be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God. Our hope and our trust is in you, oh God. We just glorify and we magnify your holy name. Father God, we thank you for this time, this very specific time and opportunity, oh God, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in your word. Heavenly Father, an opportunity, Lord God, to hear from you, Lord God. Heavenly Father, to commune with you, oh God, for you to speak to our hearts, oh God, very deliberately and intentionally. Heavenly Father, regarding those things, oh God, Heavenly Father, you want to bring forth even in our lives. So, Lord, we commend this time unto you. We pray that you have your way in it, oh God. Speak to us, oh God. Reveal yourself to us, oh God. Heavenly Father, help us to know, Lord God, that we've been with you, oh God, even after we've left this place, the very magnify thy glory, oh God, thy presence in us, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we might just be brought closer to you, Lord God, that we might be further conformed to your likeness, oh God. Have your way. Crucify my flesh right now. Heavenly Father, that you might speak, oh God, and there might not be any hindrance, oh God. Heavenly Father, to your purpose for this time and even through your word, have your way, Lord God. Bless everyone under the sound of our voice, oh God. Edify us, oh God. Heavenly Father, create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit, oh God. Be thou glorified, be thou magnified, be thou lifted up. We thank you and we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Here's actually a couple passages of scripture that we want to make sure that that we want to touch on tonight. Our focus is going to be here in the book of John, in this 8th chapter, verses 19-36, John 8, from verse 19.
Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye have known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour has not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are up, are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of the world, and I am not of the world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus answered, Jesus said unto them, even the same that I say unto you from the beginning.
I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
Then answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So really, you know, we have Christ, right, in the treasury, you know, as normal, being confronted by the Pharisees. And there were many that were standing around as he was teaching in the treasury. And it's just this discord around who he is, right? They, you know, we start out here in this 19th verse saying, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father, right? Knowing he and the father are one. So, you know, the reason why we really focus and want to bring out this text is because it's really building off of a lot of what we've been talking about over the last few months about the importance of knowing God, right? When we think about this fellowship walk and we think about really what it is we're doing, like what are we doing on this line right now? What are we doing on Sunday mornings? What are we doing on Tuesday? What are we doing on Tuesday evenings? You know, for many of you who may have participated on the prayer call this morning, what are you doing on Wednesday morning prayer and Bible study? Like, what are we doing? Are we, you know, are we going to church? Like, are we being social? Like, are we practicing religion? Like, what is the purpose? What are we, why do we spend so much time, right? Invest so much of our time in what it is that we do at Community Baptist Church. And we've got to know it's all for the sake of knowing. This is all for the sake of a relationship. You know, this is not about, you know, many people join social clubs and, you know, different things and country clubs and all this other stuff to want to feel a part of something. And there's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with us as believers wanting to come into the body to feel a part, to be a part of the body. But what we've got to know is the bottom line for all of this is this is about an intimate relationship and fellowship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. We've got to know it's all about the knowing, right? And here we have this conversation, this discourse between God, between Christ and the Pharisees and those who were in the treasury in the temple that day. It's all about knowing the truth, right? He was presenting something to them. He set forward and presented the truth of the gospel to them, that for this very purpose that we're talking about right now, that they might know him. That they might know him. Look at what he says. We read this. In verse 32, right? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Right? And so Christ is letting them know, right? To know the truth, right, is to know me. And to know the truth is to know God, right? So these are not mutually exclusive things, right? Christ is the truth, right? And he's letting us know, if you want to know me, you got to be in my word, right? What did he tell us in his word? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, right? And I am the life. He is those things. Those things are encompassed in him, right? That's who he is. And we can't go around the word of God and claim a relation. Well, you can. Let me correct it here. You can try and go around the word of God and claim a relationship with him. There are people in church who do that all the time. And the word of God is yet on the shelf, and there's no true fellowship or relationship. But you can have a relationship, but it'll be rocky. It'll be one filled with rebellion, disobedience, disagreement, right? Falling in and out of sin and bondage and things of that sort. If you try and go around the word and establish a relationship with God, trying to establish a relationship with God absent of the word of God is like trying to get to know somebody without ever meeting them. Because it's through the word of God. It's through the word of God itself where we come to know Jesus Christ. That's why he said, right? Listen, he had gone through all this and pointed out all these things, right? In this passage of scripture about who he is, about, he says, I go my way and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come, right? He says in verse 23, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Like, he's presenting himself, right? He's sharing all these details about himself, right? I say therefore unto you that, verse 24, ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's letting them know. He's not just letting them know the consequences of not knowing him, right? But he's presenting himself and letting them know who he is. And they said, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, right? They still didn't understand. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me, verse 29, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please the Father, right? And so what happened? He's presenting himself, right? He's presenting the consequences of not knowing him, right? And he says in verse 30, as he spoke these words, many did what? Many believed on him, right? And what was his response to those who had believed on him?
If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed.
Then ye are my disciples indeed, right? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So listen, in what Christ is sharing with them, he's letting them know, right? It's more, and we're going to get into this as we move forward. It's more than just believing on the words that I speak, right? But what he's getting at is the knowing, right? Right? Because many we get hooked and caught up in, okay, I believe, right? But just because you believe don't mean that you know, right? And when we see the word of God as not conceptual, but relational, right? And that's part of the issue, right? And that's the issue with many, we talk about theologians who can break down the word and tell you the timestamp of it and give you all this background and present all this knowledge forward. And some of them ain't saved, right? Because there's a distinction that needs to be made between believing and knowing. And this is what Christ was, and this was the very distinction that Christ was making even here. He says, they said he had spoke the word and many believed, right? But he says, it's only through continuing in my word, right, that you will truly be my disciples. Right. It's only continuing in the word of God, moving from an intellectual understanding of the word of God. Right. to a relational understanding, seeing the word as more than from the standpoint of knowledge or from a conceptual standpoint or an intellectual standpoint, and seeing Christ in the word, seeing the person of Christ through the word of God. It's got to be more than precepts, right? It's got to be more than rules and regulations. It's got to be more than knowledge. It's got to be more than this intellectual understanding. And some people are only saved intellectually. They've heard the word. They understand. We're going to get into this later on, this whole difference between believing, understanding, and knowing, right? They hear the word, and they have this intellectual understanding of what it says and can tell you what the word of God says and explain to you what it means, but they don't have a relational understanding of the word. They have not seen Christ behind the word, the very revelation of who he is, right? Because listen, and this is what Christ is trying to get them and us to understand, right? Behind this revelation of who I am is the revelation of who you are, is the revelation of who I created you to be. This is what he's trying, and that's why he says, if you continue in my word, then what? He turns it, right, to point to who?
His disciples.
Which are us. And we'll walk through this salvation experience. And you see it all the time. People have an identity crisis. They don't know. They don't know who they've been created to be. And guess what, y'all? When we don't know, when there's an identity crisis, what happens? When we don't know who we are, what happens? You will operate and act how? Out of character. And then what happens? You start making, and listen, it's a domino effect. And we start making excuses about how we acting, right? And we start doing what? We start doing what the flesh does best. We start justifying sin. And now next thing you know, we've compromised, right? We're compromising the word of God. We're compromising in our action, right? And then what does that do for our witness? It dilutes our witness before other people, right? And it lends the church, right? It lends the church, makes the church impotent. And that's why people don't believe, you know, that's why people are always constantly putting the church down, right? And people don't trust the church anymore, and they make fun of the church and all this other stuff, because the standard has been diluted, because people don't know who they are, because people don't see the Christ behind the word. This is what happens when we're, and you hear Pastor Wright dealing with this, talking, he's been talking about, you know, people operating on the surface. We're operating on the surface, and we're compromising the will of God. We're making it, and the flesh wants an excuse. The flesh is waiting for an opportunity to make an excuse. You hear it all the time, and you know, and I know people will say this, and I'm not, you know, not trying to offend anybody, but listen, we need to understand the truth of what God says about us. And hear people say it all the time, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You were a sinner who has been saved by grace. You are not currently a sinner saved by grace. God has called you. You are a saint. You may not act like it sometimes. I may not act like it sometimes, but we've got to know who God has created us to be. We got to know who God has called us. You're not a sinner saved by grace. We've got to know who we are in Christ. And I don't know how long that's been the theme for the young people. We've got to know who we are in Christ, but we only know if we know based on what God says about us. And we only know what God says about us by being in this word, by being in the word. And this is what our fellowship is established by. Our fellowship is founded and established on the word of God, on what God said. Guess what, y'all? It ain't about how you feel. Because guess what? There are plenty of times I don't feel like the son of God. There are many times I don't feel like I'm a child of God. We're so exposed to and confronted with so many things in this world. And we're constantly bombarded with the tapes and the messages of this world. And it'll have you thinking something else. Well, you'll be confused because you'll be so caught up in what you hear, in what you see,
and how you feel and what you think. And guess what, y'all? In all that, we've negated really the only thing that matters. And what is that? The word of God, what he says. That's why he says when he presents himself, he said, I am the way. I'm the means. I am the truth. I am the life. And I, what is there outside of that? What is there outside of the way? What is there outside of the truth? What is there outside of the life? Nothing. He's letting us know that all things are in me. And listen, we've got to know the truth. And so what I started to say before I went on this tangent was, really, this is a continuance of what we've been dealing with, talking about our pursuit for intimacy, our pursuit of knowing Christ, right? And this is just an offset of that, to know the way to do that is through the word of God. We've got to know the truth. We've got to know the truth of what God says about himself. And we've got to know the truth about what God says about us, right? God's greatest desire is fellowship with his children, right? He's desperate for us. He's jealous for us, right? And we have some supporting scripture here in Exodus and in Proverbs, right? God's focus has always been us. It's always been us. And he knows us, and he wants us to know him, right? And this is really where the focus of what, you know, in our focus text on what Christ was dealing with when he says, continue in my word. Because if you continue in my word, you'll know who I am, right? Mm-hmm. Right? You'll know who I am. There's nothing that he doesn't know about us. And what we as his children want to do is seek to know him, right? Intimately. Because really that's where fellowship lives. That's the heart of fellowship. Nobody wants to be in a one-way relationship. Right. We've been created in the image of God. We're like him. This whole innate thing with us, to where, you know, nobody wants to be in a relationship where you're loving and that person is not reciprocating that love. You know, that quality in us, that character trait about us, we get that from him. And it's funny that we have that similar characteristic and innate trait, but yet we do him the way we don't want to be done. Anybody to take our love for granted, yet we take his love for granted. And as believers, we ought to have tunnel vision for him. And this is what, you know, Paul, we dealt with this a few months back when Paul was dealing with, you know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, right? Being made conformable unto his death. This was all about him getting to Christ, right? Right. And he continues to go, if any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, here we go, that for which also I am apprehended of. There's an acknowledgement, right? When we talk about this, Christ knows everything about us. He knows us intimately, right? That whole Psalms 139, when he talks about, O Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known me, thou know my downsetting, my uprising, thou understandest my thoughts afar off, thou compasseth my ways, right? All of these things, and then he talks about, right, his thoughts towards us later on in that chapter, right? How his thoughts towards us, regardless of what he, you know, with everything that he knows about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, how wonderful his thoughts are toward us, right? They are as many as the sand, right, on the beach, right? His wonderful thoughts toward us. He not only does he know us, right? But he loves us, and his pursuit for us is unfailing, right? And that's what he wants from us. He wants our pursuit of him and in our desire to know him, right? To be unfailing and continuous. And Paul's acknowledgement here in Philippians chapter 3 of the fact that, listen, you love me, you've got a hold of me, right? and also in Romans chapter 8, right? How he talks about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing that can separate us from his great love for us, right? So his acknowledgement and knowing of God's great pursuit for us, God having apprehended us and having us, but acknowledging, though, I'm not there, right? My desire is to apprehend that which has that has apprehended me. He's recognizing and acknowledging the deficit in this fellowship, that I'm not where I need to be, but my great desire, right, is right to know him more and more, to love him more and more, to get to a place, right, of pursuit, of desperate pursuit, where I'm continually growing in the knowledge of who he is. And this is his desire for us, is that we have a desire for him. And he's not going to force it on us, but he wants us to have it. He wants us to continue to grow in the knowledge of who he is. And how do we do that? Y'all, comes full circle back to our focus text. He said, if we do what? If we continue in his, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples. In other words, then you will have a true knowledge and understanding of who I am. You have a true knowledge and understanding of who I've created you to be, right? And there comes, right, as we grow in the word of God, there comes a brokenness to the word of God, because that continue just don't mean, oh yeah, I'm a continual studier of the word of God. I'm a continual reader. Now, he don't need readers and studiers, right? No, it also means we are continual meditators on the word of God, continually being broken to the word of God. Because as I'm broken to the word of, that's really the only way I truly come to a knowledge of who I am. Because what's happening, I'm being broken to what I've been shaped in, right? What did David tell us in Psalms 51, right? We were born in sin, born absent of this fellowship, born absent of this agreement. See, and now when I'm absent of agreement, when I don't have true agreement with God, fellowship with God, then it's easy for the enemy to come in and shape me in a lie. Ooh. It's easy for the devil to come in and tell me what's not true. Listen, and this is what's happening with our young people, right? And not just our young people. This is what's happening with our young people. This is what's happening with adults, right? In this society, in this world system, the enemy has just... He has told a lie. People are confused about who they are. And it's only through knowing the truth. It's only being, and not just knowing, this is not about intellect. This is about a heart brokenness, right? To the word of God. And our hearts being broken to the truth of God, to where what we see, what we hear, what we think, and most of all, how we feel, because this is what our feelings get us messed up. How we feel, right, are negated by what God says in knowing in our hearts, right? He says what? It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, right? And knowing what God says about us and believing the truth of God, we got to know something, y'all. We've got to know something in our heart, right? And that's the word, and that's what we say here, and I'm highlighting it here. The word is the word of God that produces intimacy with God. It's the word that produces intimacy with God. Why? Why? John 1 tells us why, right? Because in the beginning was what?
The word.
Right? And the word was God, was with God, and the word was God. What was God, or who was God? Word. So listen, if the word was God, and I want to get to know God, I got to get to know the word. And I've got to see the word, right? I've got to see the word as relational. I've got to see the person of Christ through the word of God and stop reading it from the standpoint of that these are just don't get me wrong, they are precepts. This is the holy word, right? There are those things, but above everything else, it's the person of Christ. And that's why he said later on in verse 14, and the word, what became flesh? The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, his glory, right? Letting us know it's the revelation of the person of Christ through the word of God. We've got to know. We can't go around the word of God, and you see it so many times in churches where the word of God is not the most important thing. I heard Pastor Wright talking about people want to come to church and shout and socialize and feel something, right? This is in escapism and all this other stuff. And we bypass the most important thing. We bypass the word, because the true revelation of God is through the word Even to the point where praise and worship, it's all about praise and worship now in the church. We got all these doctrinal teachings and we're negating the most important thing, which is the word of God. And not just the word of God in isolation, but the word of God in our hearts. Y'all know that? We got to get this word in our hearts. It don't do us no good anywhere else. What did he tell them in Hebrews chapter 4? He said, be careful lest you, and I'm paraphrasing, miss the promise of entering into that rest. That rest. That rest is found in our fellowship. Right? Right? He says, talking about the children in the wilderness, he said, for they had the word, just like we got the word. So have the word in isolation, the word in a vacuum does us no good. Says, but because it was not mixed with faith, he says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Y'all hear that? Praise the Lord, we got the word at community. But it's not enough just to have the word preached to us and taught to us, right? But the word preached did not what, y'all? It did not profit them. There was no benefit. Listen, and I know it. I believe it. I believe we have the word here at community, and that the word that is preached is the word that God is presented as God had intended it to be. But there's a part that we have to play. The word has to be applied, right? That the word that was preached, this wonderful word, this wonderful treasure that we have, did not profit them. It was of no benefit to them, not being mixed with what? Faith, F-A-I-T-H. This word has to be mixed with faith. If we're going to truly know him, if we're going to truly know that, right? This word has to be mixed with faith, right? So let's look here. He wants us to know him intimately, not to be acquainted with him, not to just believe the story, but to truly know him, right? John 8, ye shall know the truth. 8:32, and the truth shall set you free, right? Ephesians 3:20, and to know the love of Christ, right? Which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, right? Romans 8:28, for we know. So there's something about this knowing, right? But it has very little to do with what I'm pointing to right here, right? It has everything to do with what I know in my heart. That knowing really is about a brokenness where the word of God, and this is what we're going to get into, has replaced, right, our own belief system, what we think, how we feel, right? It cancels out all these things that we're exposed to and the impact of those things, the trauma that we've experienced throughout our lives, right? These feelings that we've experienced, right? And it replaces to where what God says is it, where that's the only thing. And in each of these cases, that's what, and it's funny, in each of these cases, that's what he's referring to. You shall know the truth, right? And to know the love of Christ. So knowing the word of God, knowing the love of Christ, right? Knowing what he said. And listen, it just so happens to fall out this way. What did we talk about last time in the last series, right? We talked about knowing three things, going into battle with three things, right? knowing these three things, you'll never lose a battle, right? Knowing what? Knowing who God is or how great God is, knowing how much he loves you, and knowing what he said. These are those same principles. But that knowing has very little to do with this, you know, what happens cognitively or intellectually, because that stuff changes. But it's what we get in our heart that doesn't change. And this is the knowing that he's talking about. He's talking about our faith, our knowing, our assurance of who he is and what he says beyond what we see, hear, or feel. That's our faith. It's our knowing and trusting in God's word in the absence of physical proof. That's our faith. That's our knowing. That's our assurance. And I'm just reading right here from the sheet. And when the word talks about our belief, when it talks about believing, right, it's not talking about this conceptual thing, right? Right? It's really talking about our faith or our knowing. And that's not really about what's happening in our mind. That's really about what's happening or what God wants to transpire in our hearts. So, you know, and a lot of times in church, we confuse understanding, belief, and knowing. And that's what I was referring to even earlier, right? With this whole, this whole intellectual salvation, being saved intellectually, like knowing. We got to be careful because our mind, right? It's tricky. It can trick us, right? The Bible talks about the carnal mind, how it's enmity against the things of God, right? You know, also talks about, you know, how it can deceive us, right? So you just don't want to understand. You want to, and you just don't want to believe, right? But you want to know. And that's what we mean. We say it all the time, y'all. We got to know. Listen, we've got to know something. We got to know something. And I'm not coming against going to the seminary and school and stuff like that. No, that it's a good thing. You want that knowledge. But listen, Pastor Wright, I remember him telling Pastor Wright and telling us, man, you go to school, you better know something before you go to school. There's got to be something in our hearts. We've got to know something. It's not because in school you won't get understanding, but in this fellowship, in this walk with Christ, right, we're getting true knowledge or knowledge. Our hearts are being fashioned and conditioned in the word of God. And listen, you only get that from spending quality time, intimacy, and meditation with him himself. Because remember what we said. Listen, why are we doing this? It all goes back. It all circles back around to our fellowship with Christ. It's all about an intimate fellowship with him. We can have all the knowledge, the book knowledge, right? Understand these precepts back and forth, memorizing all this stuff, go to school, learn all the books, understand the backdrop and the history and all this. And these are good things, I'm not saying, but it's all for nothing if you don't know something. You got to know him. And you hear it. And there's a saying in the world, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And guess what, y'all? That same thing, that thing is applied and true in this. It's not about what you know, y'all. What you know has to translate to who you know. This knowledge, what we're getting, this teaching, right? Our time spent in the word. The what has to ultimately translate to who? We've got to see the person of Christ. We've got to know the person of Christ through this word. And what Christ is saying is, I need you to continue in my word, to seek me, to seek him through his word. Because the more time we spend with him, meditating on the word, praying the word. And listen, the word is the centrifuge. It all centers around the word of God, right? The more and more I spend time in his word, reading, praying, meditating on the word of God, right? The more he strengthens our faith. The less we'll depend on what we understand and what we can wrap our head around. The more we'll take him at his at his word. And we just talked about this Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Listen, it boils down because God is building our faith, right? The more time we spend with him, the more we see the person of Christ behind the word of God, the more substantive the word becomes, the more tangible, right? Right? He becomes to us because he's filling us. He's filling us and he's revealing him. He's revealing himself and he's establishing our very faith. And we're going to deal with this because this is what it really comes and boils down to. He says, we must have faith, right? In order to do what? In order to please the Lord. And why is that? It's not just him sitting around, you know, throwing out requirements, you know, to fill some sort of sense of egotistical spirit. No, it has nothing to do with it. What he knows is what we got to come to know. The victory is in our faith. God wants us to be victorious and he wants us to know him and he wants us to trust him because in trusting him, right, our trust or our assurance brings about victory in our lives. And in 1 John, it's one of my favorite passages of scripture, 1 John chapter 5. Listen, starting at verses 4 and 5. Listen, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And listen, y'all, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even what? Even our faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. It's our faith. It boils down to our faith. And our faith is so important to trust God and take him at our word, right? Because it's our faith that produces true obedience. And it's our obedience that produces the blessings of God in our life. Because if we do as he says, right, all the covenant promises of God are availed to us. And so what we talk about, faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? And it starts, but there's a continuum, right? True faith. And we've talked about this a million times, right? You know, oftentimes we stop at the hearing and the believing, right? Or the hearing and the agreeing, right? We hear the word, we believe the word, and we agree with the word, and we nod our heads to what the preacher is saying or to what we're reading, and we stop there. This is where a great vast majority of the church is. I'm talking about the universal church, right? And that's why we talked about this difference between belief and knowing, because knowing, right? It's truly in the knowing where faith is produced. We talked about this knowing in our hearts, right? So we can't stop at hearing and believing that we're only halfway there, right? Once I hear it and I believe it, right? Belief just doesn't produce obedience. Because why? Because we've still got this strong man that we're wrestling with. Right, who don't want to obey the word of God. We quoted it earlier, Romans 8, right? Says the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God, right? It is not what? It is not subject. What does that mean? What is subject? Because we want to listen, we gotta understand this. What does it mean to be subject? Ruled by. That's right. Gotta be in subjection. And if I'm not in subjection, I'm in what? What's the opposite of subjection? Starts with an R.
Rebellion.
And the Bible says rebellion is what?
Witchcraft.
There you go, right? So listen, and this is the carnal mind. This is the condition and the state of the carnal mind. It is not subject to the will of God. And listen, it's impossible because it says neither can it be, right? Mm-hmm. So I hear the word of God. And I believe the word of God, or I agree with the word of God. Right? Why is that only half the battle? Because my carnal mind is not subject to it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got my flesh or the rebellion, the natural rebellion that's in me has to be dealt with. So the word of God, the principle or the truth, and that's why I said you shall know the truth and the truth will do what? You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. What in the world do you think he was talking about when he said it would make us free from what? Bondage. The bondage of sin. And where does that rest? In us, right? Mm-hmm. So he says the truth shall make you free. It's freeing us from the old principle. There's a principle that was ruling in us before we came to Christ. And it's got to be dealt with. So there's got to be replacement. And that's why in this faith continuum, we can't just stop at hearing and believing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe. And then we wonder why we continue to fall into the same sin. Because we've mm-hmm. not been free from the bondage. From the rule or the rebellion that exists in our flesh, the lies that we've been shaped in have got to be addressed by the truth. The truth has got to replace the lie. There's got to be replacement. And then once I'm replaced, continually replaced, then I can obey. And it's not until I've obeyed that my faith is complete. I've not demonstrated faith without obedience. I can't say I've got, I can certainly say all day long, I've got faith. But my faith is not proven until I've obeyed. Why do you think James said what he said? Faith without what? Faith without works is dead. What is he letting us know? He's saying faith without really, that works means obedience. That works ain't, you know, because a lot of people interpret that, and we go and we just go and get busy. Busy mm-hmm. doing this, busy doing that, busy being religious, busy, you know, but just busy. And we're not really demonstrating any faith. Until there's a time of testing where the word of God has got to be manifest. Faith, what did he say? He says faith is the what? It's two things. Substance and what? Evidence. Faith is two mm-hmm. things. Faith is substance and evidence. And both of those things come as a are the products of obedience. In the absence of physical proof of what God says, when it don't look right, sound right, feel right, we've obeyed the principle of what? The word of God. Because the substance and the evidence, the substance of our faith is the word. The evidence of our faith is the word obeyed. And we've not gotten to faith. Faith is incomplete. Hearing and believing, my faith is incomplete. But when the word of God comes in and replaces the old principle and makes way for my obedience, now there's substance and evidence of my faith because I've obeyed. I've obeyed. And that's it's continual. And every single principle of the word of God has got to be taken and tested through that continuum. Regardless of what the principle is, whatever the principle is, God has presented and I've learned, it's got to go. I've got to take it through this continuum. I've heard it. I believe it and I agree it. It's got to replace the lie that's in me. Got to replace the old principle that's in me so that I can then obey it. Now my faith regarding or relative to that principle, right, has now been complete. And that's why he said what he said. If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples. And ye shall know this truth. And the truth mm-hmm. shall set you free. Free to obey. Free to free to walk in fellowship with him. Free to have commune in agreement with, true agreement with him. By evidence of our obedience. This is what he was dealing with. So it's all continuation of what we've been dealing with, our intimate pursuit of him, of knowing him. But listen, we can't say that. Believe me, I'm not in a position to call anybody a liar. But let me tell you this. You can't tell me that you know God and you ain't in his word about all these things. Oh, the Holy Spirit and the Lord spoke to me and all this, man, listen, read Hebrews 1. He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past. That past means back yonder, right? unto the fathers by the prophets, right? Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he has made the world. So listen to this correlation. So he says he's speaking to us today in these times through who?
His son.
But listen to what he said. By whom also he made the worlds. He's letting us know, my son, and the word are the same. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, right? And the word became flesh, right? Which was Christ, right? This is how he's speaking to us. This is how we know him. We can't go around the word of God. We can't claim to know him truly absent of his word. It's his word. So you listen, you want to get to know him like you want to get to know anybody else? How are we going to get to know Christ? We're going to get his word and we're going to meditate. That's how we get to know him. So this is the critical component of our pursuit for intimacy with Christ. His word. We can't go around his word. We got to get the word off the shelf and we got to get it in our hearts. Amen. Amen. That's it.
Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, we pray, Lord, Heavenly Father, as you've instructed, Lord God, Heavenly Father, that we continue in your word. Heavenly Father, that we continue in meditation. Heavenly Father, that we continue, Lord God, in commune with you through your word. Lord God, we pray that you just reveal, Father God, yourself, the person of Christ, Heavenly Father, through your word, Lord God, that we transition from an intellectual understanding to a relational knowledge of who you are, oh God, and a revelation knowledge of who you've created us to be, oh God. Heavenly Father, that our lives might speak to your very glory. So have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We're praying for every single person on this line, Lord God, that your word would just continue to reverberate in our hearts, conforming us to your likeness, oh God, making us more like you every single day. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that you would examine our hearts, oh God, even the things, Lord God, Heavenly Father, that you recognize that we need, oh God. We pray, Lord God, that you bless us with those things, Lord God. Heavenly Father, if there are any prayer requests, oh God, pray, Lord God, knowing and thankful, Lord God, that we could just bring those things to you, oh God, even now, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just hear our cries, oh God. Heavenly Father, meet us in our place of needs, whether it be personal or for other people, oh God. Heavenly Father, have your way. Be revealed to us, oh God. Heavenly Father, the very knowledge of your love, who you are, oh God, and what you say, oh God. Heavenly Father, let those things be magnified in our hearts, oh God. Just bless us all, oh God, with the very blessings that we stand in need of, oh God. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.